Well, I'm excited for us to be together, very excited as usual, and just expecting what God's going to do, and I pray that He will just be the one who's speaking to our hearts today. Please take out your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. It's our privilege each week to open up His Word and just do our best to understand what He's saying to us, and of course we invite Him, the person of the Holy Spirit, to come and speak directly to us. So let's just begin by reading His Word this morning. The title of today's message is Why We're Still Here. And in the very first words of verse 21, Paul very concisely answers the question about why he believes he's still here or what his life is about. Verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose, but I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all, for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me." Please pray with me again. Lord, we do thank you for these words, and Lord, we thank you that you're here meeting in this building with us, and we just ask for your instruction and guidance in this time. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Well, I read a story this week. There was a young man named Jimmy, and his fiance broke things off with him, broke things off. She left town. But several months later, she wrote him this note, so I'd like to read that to you. "Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S., congratulations on winning the state lottery." So, what do you think? Was Jimmy really the love of Marie's life? Probably not so much, right? Probably she's a fair-weather girlfriend. Unfortunately, I do understand that there can be such a thing as a fair-weather Christian. What might I mean by a fair-weather Christian? That would be someone who says, "Yes, I love God and I love the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to serve them just as long as everything's going exactly the way I want it to go. Just as long as God's answering all my prayers exactly the way I want them to be answered and everything's falling into place for me, I'll love Him and I'll follow Him. But when things go the other way, well, maybe not so much. I might be out of here." You know, for Marie, it might have been to live is the state lottery, or to live is all of that money that Jimmy just inherited and she's going to be able to enjoy. And the fun thing about this passage of Scripture that we're going to read together, though, is, or that we already read together, is that we are getting a glimpse of someone whose heart is totally taken for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's actually just amazing to read. There's two main sections that we're going to be looking at together and have already read together. The first half of this section of Scripture is Paul's dreams and aspirations for his own life. Okay, he's saying, for me, this is what life is all about. And then the second half that we read together already is Paul's challenge to us. And really, he's basically challenging us to adopt his attitude, to adopt his dreams and aspirations, and make those our dreams and aspirations. And of course, that's what we're exploring as we're going through the book of Philippians together. How should we be living in this crazy, broken world that we live in? All right, so with that in mind, let's go back and look at Paul's aspirations for his own life. To begin with, in verse 21, remember he said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, the question that I have right off the bat is, how in the world can this guy be so positive? I mean, we, of course, started this discussion last week when we looked at the circumstances in Paul's life. Remember, he's in jail for preaching the gospel. He was there for years. Not only is he in jail, but some of his enemies are out there trying to win his churches over to them, and his future doesn't look so good. We talked last week about how bad circumstances, bad attitudes, bad future. He's on trial for his life. He had a whole nation of Jews doing everything they could to get the death sentence enacted against him. Well, in spite of all this, Paul's writing like he's got these two options in front of him, and they are most incredibly life-enhancing options out there, right? I mean, it's like Paul is on The Price is Right, and he's already seen door number one and door number two, and he's like, they're both incredible. I can't decide which one to choose. I mean, that's exactly the words he uses here. I don't know which one to choose. Amazing. Really amazing. Keep reading with me. Verse 22. If I'm to live on in the flesh, this was one of the options, it will mean fruitful labor for me. I don't know which one to choose. But I'm hard pressed from both directions. I mean, wow, hard pressed. He's saying, I'm sincerely tempted to either one of these options, even though his life didn't look that appealing, really. Think about jail. Didn't look that appealing. Having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. I think I've told some of you this before, but I heard about this preacher who was up one Sunday morning and for a while about the great aspects of heaven. And after a few minutes, he said, I want everyone in here who wants to go to heaven, raise your hand. And so about 70% of everybody in the church raised their hand. But he was very disappointed. He was like, so he started talking about heaven for the next 15 minutes and how great it was and how you're going to get rid of every problem that you've ever faced and it's just going to be amazing. And so he finally says, all right, now, in light of all this new information, how many of you want to go to heaven? Well, everyone in the church raises their hand except for one little 8-year-old boy sitting down front. And the pastor looks at him, he says, what's wrong, sonny? Don't you want to go to heaven? And he says, well, sure, pastor, but I thought you're getting up a busload to go right now. And you know, I just think if we really understood what Paul understood, when the pastor asked that question, that little 8-year-old boy would have jumped out of his seat and run up there and said, where's the bus so I can climb on? Right? And we would all, I think, say that if we really understood what the Bible and Jesus have to say about heaven. I mean, sure, there can be things about this life that are pretty cool. But, hey, I'm just saying, if I can use the crazy word, there ain't no comparison. Right? I mean, we ought to be ready to climb on that bus, and that's what Paul is very obviously saying here. I've got a desire to depart with and be with Christ, that is very much better. And that's how he's looking at his trial and his death sentence. Right? That's what's causing him to say this. He is just realizing that this is just a door you walk through into eternal life to be with his heavenly Father. And I just think we so need to let this infiltrate our lives, because it will so change the way we think and the way we live. I personally believe that Christians, we should be the happiest people on the face of the planet. Keith Green wrote a song, "We Are the Colorful Ones." We are his daughters and sons. We are the kids of the King. Rejoice in everything. That's who we are. We should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Paul's a great example of it, and even a greater example because he's in prison while he's writing this letter. But he continues in verse 24 to talk about the other option. He says, "Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake." Paul's like, okay, it'd be awesome to go and be with the Lord right now, but I've got some spiritual children out in this world, and they need me. You have some spiritual children, probably. I know many of you have physical children. They need you. They need you. And I love how Paul writes this next verse. Look what he says. "Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith." Man, can't get much more clear and concise about our purpose here on life than that. Paul said, listen, I've got some spiritual children out there, and my dream, my ambition, my life is their progress and their joy in the faith. Great goals. And he just kind of helps you see, helps you get an even better picture of it in the next verse. Verse 26, he says, "So that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." Paul is saying, hey, Philippians, I know you guys really like me. Okay, we've got this relationship going, and he was excited about it too. You've got a lot of confidence in me. But here's my goal. When I come to you, I want to help you to put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to come and so encourage you, so strengthen your faith, that if you've got any doubts about Christ's love for you and his power to complete you and to take you to be with him in heaven, if you've got any doubts, I want to clear those up for you so that you're, let me read it again, that your confidence would abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. So Paul is like, I can go be with the Lord, or man, I can help my peeps. I can help my peeps grow and have progress and joy and have great confidence in their heavenly Father. Awesome, awesome goals in life. So encouraging for me. So this is Paul's aspirations for himself. Man, he's not bored with life, right? Got a plenty to live for. And now we're going to dive into his challenge to us. Verse 27, he says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now, there are three more verses here in the chapter. We're not going to probably get to those today. I hope that you'll take them home and you meditate on them. There's some very important topics that come up in those three verses. But I want us to focus on this one verse for the rest of our time together here today. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Of course, the gospel of Christ, that's the good news. The word gospel literally means good news of Christ. And the good news is that you and I can be forgiven. That it doesn't matter what our past has been, God can forgive us because Jesus gave his life for us. Jesus paid the penalty for us. The Bible actually says that you and I have this certificate of debt. We have a moral debt, a moral obligation that we could pay though we tried for all eternity. And what Christ did on the cross enables God to take that certificate and rip it away and take it away from us so that it is gone forever. That's the good news. And Paul says, I want you to live in a way that's worthy of that. And then he spells it out for them. Here it is, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, in other words, guys, even if I don't get to come there, I want to come there, I want to strengthen your faith, I want to help you be encouraged and grow in the Lord Jesus, but even if I don't make it, I want to hear a report about you. And here's what I want to hear. That you are standing firm in one spirit. This is very obviously to me, this is kind of the key of his thought here, or one of them. So I looked up that word, standing firm in one spirit. The word there, Greek word, is pneuma. You might recognize it, pneuma, pneumatics, pneumatic tools, has to do with air. Anyhow, I looked it up. Where'd that go? I looked up pneuma, the Greek word pneuma. The wind, breath, especially used of the spirit, which like the wind is invisible, immaterial, and powerful. So Paul challenges them to be in one spirit. You ever go into a place, go into a building? Often I come into this building, actually, and just sense it. You know, and even just this past week, I had some more folks tell me the exact same thing, how much they love being in this building. Because of all you guys. They said, we come in here and everyone we sit next to, they're just instantly talking with us, encouraging us, in one spirit. There's just a spirit about the place. A spirit of warm unity. Warm unity. That's what Paul's talking about here. That you'll be of one spirit. And then he goes on and adds, in one mind. And so I looked up that word also. This one doesn't mean a thing to me. But in case you're curious, the Greek word is nous. And it stands for mind. Let me just read you the definition, the Greek definition of this one. It's the seat of reflective consciousness, comprising the faculties of perception, understanding, feeling, judging, and determining. So what's all that mean when you put it together? It means we've talked about this. We've communicated about this. And we are of one mind. We are decided, all right, here we go. We're together on this thing. We're together on this thing. And then, of course, he gives them what they're supposed to be doing, what they're to be together on. And that is striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, you may remember, we've been talking this year about some church goals. And I just kind of want to bring that into the discussion that we're having this morning. Hi, welcome. We've been talking about some church goals. And we've been talking about growing in ministry. And so the idea is that we have different things that we serve the community and we serve one another in here as a church, and we want to have everyone have an opportunity to do that. We've been talking about growing in maturity. And so we have some classes that we've been offering, and we hope everyone will dive into those. And we've been talking about growing in numbers as well. And so for that particular goal, we started last month. Remember, and our first step is going to be, let's pray and ask God, who's that person that I can get to know this year? Who's that person that I can love, that I can build a relationship with, that I can help them find the Lord Jesus Christ? And then we're just going to start doing that. So this is the second step. I'd like to give you a second step to add to that goal this year. And I wish I had, I was kind of looking for an object for you to have in your hand. But I think you'll be able to remember this step because we're going to be talking about it really all month. And that step is to link arms with one another in these goals. Linking arms. Okay, you're thinking about, you're praying about, who's that special person that I can begin building a relationship with? But we want to be doing this together. Like he says right here, striving together for the faith of the gospel. When I was in grade school, we played this game. You know, I was this little teeny weeny kid, and I couldn't stop anybody because I was small. But we played this game, and we had two teams, and we'd all get in a line, and we'd link our arms through each other tight. You know, they're like, hold on tight. And sometimes they'd let us do this, you know, depending on the rules, whether or not you could clasp your hands together. Sometimes we could hook your hands together. Sometimes you just had to be really strong. And then someone from the other team would come running at you just as hard as they could and try to bust through the line. You ever, anyone else play that game? Thank you. Thank you. Couldn't remember the name. Okay, like I said, I was this teeny little skinny guy. I probably couldn't have stopped anybody. But man, I could. When we linked up arms, it was hard to break. Okay, we stopped a lot of people. There weren't very many who could bust through our line because we knew how to hook our fingers together. And I milked cows when I was a kid, so I might not have been big everywhere else, but I had strong hands. I could take them out in arm wrestling, and I could hang on. And so we were linked up with each other. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. You know, I may not have all these super powerful gifts to win the lost to Christ, but I'm part of a church family that love one another, that are united with one another, that have a spirit of unity when we're together. And God's calling us to do this together. So step number one, have you got your man? Have you got your woman? Who is it that you want to connect with this year? Step number two, let's link arms. Let's do it together. I've got a couple of books that I've been reading, and I'd just like to throw out a couple of ideas for you. Now, we're going to be going further with this. Okay, next week we're starting into chapter 2. And again, it's all about the relationships. Paul's going to tell us how to do this. But this one book I'm reading is fascinating. It's called Turn the Ship Around. And it's by this Navy captain. And in 1999, not that long ago actually, he was made captain of a submarine called the Santa Fe. And he wrote this book about the experience. And the Santa Fe evidently had the lowest morale of ever any submarine in the fleet and the poorest record. And they just, I guess, weren't that happy of a group of sailors. Anyhow, he came on and started to work with this group of people and build them into a team. And he talked about two main things that they could do. There were a lot of things, but at least two of the things that really stuck out to me. One was things that you do when you go down deep. You know, talking about being united and having these deep, strong, positive relationships with one another. And so you just naturally love each other and are linking up arms. And we're going to get more into that actually next week. We're going to be diving into ideas about going down deep in your relationships and how you can do that. Philippians chapter 2. But the other thing that he talked about was fascinating to me. And he said, listen, just start acting like you're a team, guys, because feelings follow actions. So he said, listen, think about it this way. What would you do? What would you act like if you were on a ship with the people that you were so excited about? I mean, if you could pick all of your 100 favorite people and you could all be on this ship together, what would you act like? And so they instantly had this list of things that they would do. And so he's like, that's how you just start acting it. Just start doing it. And I'll give you one example. He gave them the three-name rule. The three-name rule. And I'm not from the military, so forgive me ahead of time because I'm probably going to mess this all up. But he said, if somebody visits the ship, I'm just going to make up a name here. Let's say it's Admiral Higgins visits the ship. You're to greet Admiral Higgins, and you're to use the three-name rule. You're to say, greetings, Admiral Higgins. I am Private Sam Sigg. Welcome aboard the Santa Fe. Three-name rule. And they were to, anytime they greeted someone on that ship, they were to do that. And the reason was they were to take pride in who they were and in what their ship was. Of course, when he came on board, they were the least successful and had the poorest morale. By the time he left that ship, more leaders were taken off of that ship to lead other submarines than any other one in the fleet, because the morale had changed so much and the leaders had grown so much. So he said, just start acting it out. And it's going to change the way you feel and the way you think. He gave them another thing to do. And really, the bottom line, the underlying thing in this other thing that they were supposed to do is they were just supposed to communicate about everything. He said, talk it to death. Don't just go do something, you know, because you know what to do, but talk about it. And so the folks who were under him, they had this technique they were supposed to use. They were supposed to come up to the captain when they were ready to, you know, make the submarine dive or whatever they were supposed to lead in doing. And they were supposed to come to him, the captain. They were going to say, Captain, I intend to. And then they were to describe whatever they were going to do. So he would say, I intend to take the ship down to 100 meters. I don't even know anything about submarines, but I'm just kind of making that up. I intend to take the ship down to 100 meters. Okay, I've checked the depth. I've checked the engines. The top is on. Yeah, I don't know what all the things are they need to say. But all the things that are supposed to be checked, they're supposed to be in place that the captain would normally have to ask about, they would come to him and they would say, Captain, I intend to do this, and I've checked all these 10 things. And so the goal was, all the captain would need to do is say, excuse me. Captain would just need to say, very good, sir, carry on, or something like that. I don't have that quote. But the idea was that his men were becoming the leaders. And they were, he said, people would come on their ship, and they would say it was such a different experience. Because most ships were kind of quiet, and people were just kind of carrying out their commanded positions and commanded posts. But in their command room, this stuff is just flying everywhere. And people are just communicating. And there's none of this, nobody knows what the other guy's doing, because they all know what one or another are doing. And they're all united on it. And so it's just so like this verse to me. Whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And with those words, striving together for the faith of the gospel, Paul encapsulates for us the dream and ambition that we talked about in the beginning, that he had for himself, that if he was going to be here on earth, he was going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and make a difference and build up his children in Christ. And that's what he's calling us to do. He's calling us to do that very same thing. So step number two in our goals this year, let's link arms with one another. Let's be more and more serious about our relationships, about strengthening them. If you think of that person that you feel like the Lord's leading you to this year, why not tell us? And why not, hey, pray for me, it's one of my guys is going to be Logan, this young man in our neighborhood. Hey, pray for Logan this week. As a church family, we'll pray for Logan. He'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's talk about it. Let's pray for it. Let's plan for it. Let's do it together. And we're going to dive into it again next week. Let's all pray together right now while our worship team comes up. Lord, we just thank you that we have you in us. Lord, I think of that verse in the Bible that says we've become partakers of the divine nature. Big words for just such an exciting truth that you, the Holy Spirit, the very person of the Trinity, of God Himself, that you are living inside of us. And Lord, how we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word and how it directs us. Lord, you said that if we abide in your word, that we'd know the truth and that the truth would set us free. Lord, we thank you for these things. And we ask you together this morning, as a church family, we pray together this morning and we ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, cause us to abide in you and just be filled up with you. Lord, help us to see that person that we can love and reach out to this year. And Lord, help us to link arms with each other, pray for one another, strategize together, love these people, and help them find you. Lord, thank you that we're not alone. Even as a church family, we're not alone, that you're with us, Lord. You're with us, and we can trust you for all of this. We pray it in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen.